Script reading for tonight is from Matthew chapter 5 again as we look at the Beatitudes. We're looking at the second last Beatitude tonight. And then after I get back from the holidays, we'll look at the very last one, the last Beatitude. Tonight we look at Matthew 5 verse 9. But I'll read the intro and read right up to verse 9 to see how it all works together again as a whole. Page 1501 in your pew Bible if you'd like to follow along. I'll read the passage. I'll say, "This is the word of the Lord," and the congregation responds together, "Thanks be to God." "Now when he saw the crowds, he went up on the mountainside and sat down, and his disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, 'Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God." Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
May God add his blessing to his word tonight. Your congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, I've said it a number of times in this series that there is a certain progression to Jesus' Beatitudes. There is a progression in terms of a continued focus on our responsibilities. And so in the first Beatitude, there is a minimal focus on our responsibilities. Jesus says there in that first Beatitude, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Many are poor in spirit, but they're not exactly responsible for it, per se. They are poor in spirit because something has happened to them. They lost their house, or they lost their job. Maybe they lost a spouse, or they lost another loved one. Not really their fault, but they're down and out nonetheless. Jesus says, if you are a follower of him, if you are in Christ, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And so there is a minimal emphasis on our responsibilities in the first Beatitude per se, but as we move along, there is increased focus on our responsibilities. There is an increased focus on the choices and actions that we are called to make. This is especially so in the Beatitude that we're looking at tonight. In the face of division, in the face of fighting, in the face of hatred and war and anger, and you're in the midst of that. You're in the midst of this. The question is, what are you going to do about it now? What is your responsibility here? What choice will you make? Jesus says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God." This is a relevant beatitude. I think it is. We live in a world of peacelessness. There is so little peace. You think that there would be more peace maybe in the year 2018? I mean, we are so advanced in so many ways today, right? I mean, look what we can do with technology today. We can connect with each other in so many different ways. A phone, WhatsApp, email, texting, Skype. Our Joanna, she lives exactly 18,253 kilometers away. Right now it is 6:25 in the morning, Monday morning. She's very far away. But I can contact her right now. Just have to flip this thing on, hit one button, and she'll be on my phone. Just like that. The ability to communicate is so amazing today. But in our world today, there is not a lot of happy communication going on. There is as much fighting and resentment and anger and war as there has ever been. Our world lacks peace. You wonder how that can be, but it's true. As many of you know, I'm writing a master's thesis on the doctrine of common grace. Abraham Kuyper, he wrote a lot about common grace. He wrote about the blessings that God gives to people who are not saved. The blessings that non-Christians receive from God, that's called common grace. Kuyper had an interesting thought about technology, of all things. Although Kuyper died almost 100 years ago, he could already see the advance of technology. Kuyper said that common grace will continue to produce amazing advances in technology. But will the world get better? Not necessarily, not spiritually. Kuyper said that in the very, very end, the Antichrist, he will come and he will take all of our amazing technology and use it to battle against the church, to destroy the cause of Christ, to wage war against the Lord. Interesting thought about technology. But he might be more right than wrong on this score. Even today we have all kinds of advances and all kinds of things, but we still have all kinds of wars and fightings and killings and terrorist activities, street shootings with handguns like we've never seen before. It's in the world, it's in our society. War and disagreement is in our families, and the root of it is in our own hearts. It is. We need more peace in this world, don't we? Jesus says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God." We need peace. A real peace, a right peace. Of course, we don't need just any kind of peace. We need the right kind. Some people might be led to believe that all what Jesus is after in this beatitude is lack of war. Just don't fight. Just stop fighting. Congregation, just because we are not fighting does not necessarily mean that we have a real peace going on in our world. Sometimes we hear this. You know, we may know people who are caught in a lot of misery. I don't know, there's a lot of things out of control in their lives. They're caught in a life of drug abuse and alcoholism. And they take their sorrows out on their spouse or on their family. There's chaos and there's a mess everywhere, and everybody knows it. But no one's going to say anything. We say nothing. Jesus wants peace, doesn't he? So don't rock the boat, you might say. Jesus wants peace. Congregation, that's not peace. That would be misunderstanding what Jesus is after in this particular beatitude that we're looking at tonight. So let's talk about the kind of peace that Jesus is after. What kind of peacemaking will we be involved in? In the Greek, the word for peace is eirene. By itself, it means peace, which is not saying too much. But to understand eirene and how Jesus is using this term, we need to look at the Old Testament understanding of peace. In the Hebrew of the Old Testament, the word for peace is shalom. Maybe you've heard the word before. Peace in Hebrew is shalom. And what's shalom? Shalom is a very rich word. It carries all kinds of connotations. It carries connotations of well-being, rest, quietness, safety, security, contentment, being one with each other and with creation, for that matter. More importantly, shalom implies reconciliation with God. Yep, we are right with God. There's peace with God. We're walking with God. And so in its fullest sense, in its fullest extent, shalom implies salvation, complete salvation. The kingdom has come. We have shalom when sin is dealt with, when sin is gone, when right order is restored, when disobedience is set aside, and when Satan is destroyed. That's peace. And that's what we really need. We need that kind of peace. Which explains that in order to get that kind of peace, yeah, sometimes war will even be involved. That explains Jesus' comment in Matthew 10, verse 34. In Matthew 10, verse 34, Jesus says, "Do not suppose that I've come to bring peace to the earth. I didn't come to bring peace, but a sword." Sounds like a contradiction? Is it? Not necessarily. To be sure, what God ultimately wants is peace. He wants shalom. That's what's going to come upon this world in the very end. Perfect peace and rest. But to get there, sometimes we will need to endure pain and persecution and sword. Christ did. In order to secure lasting peace, Christ had to die. And so in order to create a lasting shalom, sometimes we too will need to rock the boat. Sometimes we will need to call people to account. Sometimes we will need to call the police. Sometimes governments will need to put their military on alert. And sometimes we'll have to go to war to stop crazy people like Adolf Hitler and Saddam Hussein. Understanding, of course, that the ultimate goal is a lasting peace, a shalom, the kingdom, which only comes by God's grace. That's why we continually pray, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, may your kingdom come, and may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So here's the good news. In the fullness of time, God sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Why did he come? To reconcile the world to our God. To make peace. And so I think of the song the angels sang to the shepherds on the night that Jesus was born. Jesus is born, angels appear to the shepherds, and what do they sing? "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." This is Christ's agenda, to put a lasting, real peace in our world. Jesus Christ, he conquers sin, he conquers death and Satan in his death and in his resurrection. Jesus ascends on high to sit at God's right hand. He pours out the Holy Spirit to fill us with his everlasting peace, all so that we might be peacemakers as well in the world in which we live. "Blessed are the peacemakers," says Jesus, "for they will be called sons of God." Peacemakers. That's who we are. It's interesting then where we need to apply this. Interesting where we need to make peace. Where do we begin? It starts here in our own hearts. Our hearts need to be right with God. That comes through repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And sometimes we will need to do drastic things in our own personal lives in order to destroy the works of darkness in our personal lives and to bring a real lasting peace. Sometimes, in order to create shalom here, we need to, for some of us, it may require giving up drinking altogether. It's done. Sometimes, for some of us, we'll need to find different friends, period. Sometimes we'll need to turn off the computer for good. It all starts in our hearts. We need shalom here. We need a character of shalom. That's where it starts. It starts in our hearts, but it also has to be implemented then in our families. In our families, we need to create communities of shalom. Is there shalom in your home? How do we expect to create shalom in the world if there's no shalom in your house? Is your home a safe place? Is your home a happy place? Is everyone feeling secure? Is there order? Is there a happy one in your home? Or is there just stuff everywhere? Is there just baggage? Is there chaos, emotional chaos in your home? I was really intrigued by the movie we watched on Friday night. I Can Only Imagine. Cool movie. Great movie to raise funds on the mission trip for the Samaritans Foundation. I'm thinking about the dad in the movie. Wow. Talk about garbage in his life and in his home. Talking about a haven to create resentment, hatred, and despair. He needed shalom, and I'm so thankful to find that he did find it at the end of his life. Is there shalom in your house? Are you working towards it? Are you a peacemaker? We need to work to create peace and shalom in our own personal lives by God's grace, in our homes, but also in other places, the workplace. Sometimes, yeah, in order to get there, we will need to speak up first. Sometimes we'll need to put our foot down about certain things, but always is the goal in mind, a lasting peace, God's shalom, if we can. We create peace in our personal lives, in our families, in our workplaces, and other places, but also in the world. We want it to reach everywhere. Now, of course, we can't fix the whole world, but that's why we do what we can in our own lives, in our own families, in our own communities, and it all trickles out. It all kind of works together. And it all rather starts here with the church, with the preaching of the gospel. The church, with her means of grace, is God's grand institution to work peace here and here and here and here and everywhere. Peace. We, as the Church of Jesus Christ, we are peacemakers. That's who we are. And that is our calling. Peacemakers. God is in the business of making peace in this world through us, through the church. Peace is so big on God's agenda. I think of the words of greeting and blessing at the beginning and at the end of our worship services. Grace to you, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you his peace. This is what God declares to his church. This is what he's after, so that it may go out and to bless the whole world. We are peacemakers. Jesus says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God." This is the reward of his grace. We will be called sons of God. This is not a small thing. Actually, it's a big thing if you think about it more. Note, first, who God is. God is, first of all, the God of peace. God gives peace, to be sure, but he does so because he himself is peace. Peace is God's most basic modifier. Romans 15, verse 33, "The God of peace will be with all, will be with you all." Amen. Romans 16, verse 20, "The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet." Philippians 4, verse 9, "And the God of peace will be with you." 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23, "May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through." I could go on. Hebrews 13, verse 20, "May the God of peace equip you for everything good." Peace is who or what God is. God is peace, And so is Jesus Christ, his Son. Ephesians 2, verse 14, for Christ himself is our peace, says the Apostle Paul. And when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, his Son, then we share in all of that. We share in Christ's peace, and we share in God's peace. It all kind of flows and rolls together. And so we have God, Christ, and us. We have peace, peace, and peace. It's all peace. God who is peace, Christ, and we who are his children through adoption, through regeneration, through the continual sanctification, becoming more and more holy, through the continual impact of the Holy Spirit on our hearts and in our lives. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Sons, daughters of God. That's who we are. And that will be our title. That will be our glory in the last day. Peace will be who we are, and so we will be called sons and daughters of God. And not because of what we have done. No, never. It's his work. This is his grace. God saves, God delivers. He applies, he fills. Peace is who he is, and peace is what he gives. It's his character to do so. This he longs, and this he blesses to do, and we act likewise. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Amen. Let's sing in response. Hymn number 525 in our Psalter hymnal, O Christians, Haste. We bring this peace as well to the world through the gospel and through sharing of our faith. Let's stand together. Let's sing all the three stanzas, hymn number 525.